Hi.
Ego death. Let's talk about it. Have you ever went through a moment to where you was fighting yourself and you just put up a bunch of false realities that's has a huge likelihood of it not happening? Have you been through an awakening and you have or you are experiencing ego death right now? Welcome to Breakout of the Unhinged, where you have two weird life coaches that talk about all things spirituality, that talk about all things life related. Ooh, that's a good one. Life related, life coaching. Oh, all the good things. Yeah, anyway, a squirrel. You are hosted by your coaches, James Tates and
And Eva, where I'm a holistic healing coach and I work with energy and I also help you release all that no longer serves you from a place of just like love and being able to like let go.
And again, my name is Coach James Tate. I am a transformation and mindset coach from Soul Tribe Transformations, where I help people such as yourself to break out of your past to launch pad you to the future, your purpose, your destiny. Yes, getting right into it, man. Ego death. Let's talk about it. What is it? How does it affect us? At what stage of the journey does it play a role? A lot of times we watch a lot of videos or we discover quick definitions of what it is and the whole nine, but that's just giving us a baseline. And with this, what we wanted to touch on was like some personal experiences that we have encountered about ego death. And hopefully this gives you, the listener and the viewer, the opportunity to talk, like to even navigate it through yourself, right? To navigate what ego death is for you, how's it playing a role, in what ways to where we find ourselves sabotaging, and additionally, what ways to where we can benefit off of ego death and flourish from it, from a place of storytelling, recognizing the differences and what makes it congruent to our lives, right? So Eva, real quick, what is your definition of ego death and how has it played a role to you?
Ego the death really means like just getting out of your own way and letting go of what aspects of your life you used to connect with, right? From a place of growth and from a place of really allowing yourself to think about yourself like from a in a different reality. Of like, okay, this is what you went through, this is what you experienced. And a lot of people do that, right? It's like, I've seen what I don't want and I'm going towards what I want. Although it's really important to also like heal the things that didn't serve you from a space of like clearing the anger or the sadness and all of that, because what you don't process, you carry with you. And it's from a place of just giving yourself that like safe space, even if it's just you and the mirror, and just setting the intention of right now, I'm going to give myself the space to cry. I'm going to give myself the space to yell into a pillow. I'm going to give myself the space to experience this fear that I have. And it's like go into like three layers of like what is the worst thing that can happen with you having this fear. And know that at the end of the third one, you're going to be like, oh, wow, like that's it. That's the worst that can happen. Okay, I'm going to launch and do what it is that I need to do for myself. So it's just being very like intentional to like heal those like emotions from a place of being able to just sit with it and be in the space of, wow, like I never done this for myself before. So now being able to do it and seeing how good I feel after. Because once you let go of the anger, once you let go of the sadness, the fear, all of that, you're like, wow, like that's it. Like I just had to sit with it for a little bit. But it's like nobody teaches us how to like process that, right? So being able to just sit with it, provide that space for yourself, and really letting it go. Like I used to be very much in my ego. There were many years that I lived where I was numb, and I encountered like different relationships that were kind of like a similar relationship. And then when I went into the healing, that's when I experienced like ego deaths of like letting go of my old job, letting go of friendships that didn't serve me, like letting go of like my old place that I had. And all of that really led to me finding the right people and being in spaces where we are trying to help everybody who wants the help, right? The people who want to heal, the people who want to experience like a different part of their life. Because it's like, okay, maybe you acknowledge, like you see the same patterns, but it's like, how do you move differently? How do you move from a space of like authenticity? Because once there's like the ego is, you know, I don't know if it's like ego death or whatever, like you're able to step more into like the real you, more authentically into yourself. What about you? How do you feel about that?
I like that. I love that. I love, just to, before I get into my my thoughts, I just want to reflect back to you, like everything that you talked about. And I love how you really touched on, like, I guess if I could simplify it, the contrasting piece of ego death. We talk about, one of the things that we try to stay away from as people or innately is conflict and contrasting. We view it as such, we unconsciously view it as a bad word or as a bad thing, when in reality, we need it. We need it from the place of looking at ourselves in the mirror and really just, for lack of better terms, and just to keep it a buck, deal with our shit, right? In terms of what ego death is for me and from experience, ego death is, you go through, ego death is more of a process, right? It's like a huge process. I'm not going to go into these like bit by bit bullet point steps, but just to simplify it or summarize it, ego death is when you actually go through an experience to where you are facing a bunch of false realities. It's like, we'll say, for example, you can find yourself going up for a promotion for a job, and you know there's like four or five other candidates. And your ego makes a last ditch effort just to keep you in that comfort zone. And how it does it is like, you really don't want to be in that role. That's too much responsibility. What about time for yourself? What about, you know, time with your family, your kids? You're going to be giving up b-ball with the boys on Saturday. You got to take on extra time. When in reality, what if I was to step into it, right? What if I was to lean into that role? What good is going to come out of this? And when you finally cross over that threshold of ego, you get that new role. Just, again, this is just an example, but you get that new role and then you discover that you can create your own schedule. You have the Saturday with your boys. You got time with your family. Yeah, it's a little bit more responsibility. But that's a given, right? But the point that I'm trying to drive home is, when you're facing ego death, it's like your ego is making a last ditch effort to keep you in the box, to keep you in what you, in terms of what your comfort zone is. The contrasting piece of that is, as you navigate through it, or as you sift through the bushes, per se, in the jungle, there's a bush to where it's like, hey, you can't do this. There's a bush to where it's saying, think about this. A bush telling you reconsider. But once you get to the light of it, once you get to the heart of it, right, you start realizing that it's all coming together. But the cool part about it is, your ego gets on board with you. Your ego discovers, you know, this new land that you have discovered, unlock, however you want to put it. And then it resets itself. Why does that happen? The reason why it happens is because ego is designed to protect you. It can protect you in healthy ways, and it can protect you, and in this case, a negative facet. Because it's our job, as we live in this experience of this place called Earth, to reach to our destiny, reach to our purpose, reach to what we feel is our pinnacle, our apex. When you have the ego, that's just another roadblock that you have to get through. You notice how when we play sports, or when you have friends that play sports or whatever, they always say it's like it's 20% physical, but 80% mental. Here we are. The ego never really dies per se, but at the same token, it's always going to be present. I swear, for those that listen to hip hop, I swear Ego Death is like a Bone Thugs and Harmony album. It always finds its way back and it drops another hit and we just get thirsty for the music. I digress. But in terms of Ego Death, yes, that's how it comes about. Yeah, I think for me and my personal experience, just to touch on that, I remember when I went through my first massive awakening. I think the first one is always the most massive, so I guess I'll leave it at that. But when I went through my first awakening, I remember I was going on YouTube and dissecting myself in terms of what stage am I at? Where am I? It's like everything was just so new. And I was broken open to so much. I remember I was at, you know, at the psych ward after I tried to commit suicide. And I was like, God, take this from me. I don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. And literally, once that wind wrapped around, that's when I knew change was coming, right? I went through, at least to what I feel looking back at it, the traditional stages and the quote-unquote traditional order. Check it out on YouTube if you got time. But I remember once I got, the one stage that really stood out to me was the ego death. And now is the time for me to really get to know my own psyche. Get to know my own mind. And it was just a surreal experience of how much negativity I had clunked up in my head. How much I held myself back. Not looking back at it now, older and a bit wiser, but looking back at it, I was like, wow, I was really holding myself back because I let my ego fight the battle instead of the universe fighting the battle for me, instead of trusting the universe, instead of trusting God, instead of, like, you know, all those things, right? When I got there to that point to where I just said, screw it, do what you got to do, universe and God, like everything changed. Became, got myself into Lumia, met great people, yourself included, became an advanced certified coach. No, let me take a step back. Became a certified life coach. And I remember once I graduated, I was already looking at the tombstone of my ego. Didn't even realize it because I was just going through the classes, right? And part of the way of dealing with ego death is just immersifying yourself. I don't even know if that's a word. It sounds cool, but we're going to roll with it. Just immersing yourself into the process, right? And with that being said, going through Lumia and just like, just doing the thing. I come to realize, looking back at it, talking with some of the people, the great people I met within, you know, the what they call essentials, just keep it simple for you guys that's listening or watching, the basics of it, of coaching, learning how to coach and learning how to talk to people from a place of compassion and empathy. People started picking up on my insights. I was the quiet one. Once upon a time, and you're probably asking yourself, how are you the quiet one when all you do is talk, talk, talk? Well, listen here, Bucko, it brought me here. I digress. Meeting the people online through the web classes and the whole nine, I started picking up this confidence. I remember I had one particular class in Essentials with Ms. Moffitt, or Coach Moffitt, Deanna Moffitt to be exact. And I remember I think I had a breakthrough that day, like a huge breakthrough. I was a chatterbox that day. Ooh, jeez. But everybody was like, this dude is like speak. I was looking at the chat in Zoom and it was like, this dude is speaking from the heart. Where the hell did this dude come from? He never talks. Oh, my God. And that's the day I realized that that ego was 6 feet under for the time being. And once I got the certificate, that's when I realized, like, all right, I'm here. I am him. To hell what everybody says. I'm doing this. And then it led me into signature. And, you know, the rest was history. Again, coaching, meeting people. And I think another turnaround was the sessions that I was helping people in, right? The practice sessions, you know, how we have to get our hours and so forth, right? And hearing from people like, yo, you're a powerhouse. You have a gift. Hearing that, that being reflected back to me, it opened me up to like see what else is out there from a place of uncharted waters, right? And starting my own business. And here I am now talking Eva's ear off. I'm kidding. But it got me here to share my story. It got us here for us to share our stories and our experiences, right? It's a huge eye opener. So for those, I'll close off for the time being a chatterbox. For those who are listening, it's a thing. You don't have to go through an awakening to go through ego death. But what I will say and what I will challenge you is to take a look at your thoughts. Sit with yourself. Solitude is there for a reason. It's not just there for you to just, oh, I'm alone and what am I going to do about my life? Like, no, like, lean into it. Your ego's probably going to say some stuff that's going to make your ass itch. I'm just being real when I say that. Honestly, it's probably going to say some things to you to where when you look back at the path, you're going to be mad. But also at the same token, thank your ego because it did its big one, because you was able to push yourself further. You was able to walk in uncharted waters. I'm telling you, like ego, your ego death is like a 12 round boxing match. And you just have to take it day by day, or in this case, round by round. And you got to roll with it. Coach Eva, question for you. What was like, can you tell me a time to where you have experienced ego death or something close to that? And you know, how did you break through from that experience?
I feel like it was like multiple times, maybe like every 3 months. No.
Did your backside itch in the process? Because I know you get on me for saying, making my backside itch.
No, it's hilarious. I mean, because it's regional. Like the way you speak is like regional. That's why it just cracks me up because I never really heard that. So to hear that, it's hilarious to me. I'm a Cali girl. Like I say dude and I say like hella and things like that. But
not the South meets the West.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, back to like the ego death. I remember when I was, you know, asking God, I'm like, God, how can I let this go? How can I let go of these patterns? Like put the people in my life that can help me remove whatever I'm feeling. Because it's like, okay, like the only common denominator between like me and the relationships, the friendships, all of that, it's like, I am the common denominator. Like I feel like I felt like such a victim, so disempowered. So like, and I was asking for change in my life. And when it came, I think we had like a session where you described me as very much principal. Okay. And I wrote down everything that you were talking about. Yikes. Because I was also like getting my coaching hours, right? Exchanging hours. So in that time period, I was very much in a space of like writing affirmations and doing all of that, but nothing was getting to my unconscious, right? Everything was very like conscious. So it was not working for me. And because it wasn't working for me, I asked for this sign or somebody to guide me. And then I found a coach and then she trained me. And then that's when I started going through multiple like ego deaths, you know, because I remember my sixth year teaching. I could already feel like this is going to be my last year teaching. Like, I don't see myself putting up my classroom again next year. And, you know, now I'm over here like I don't have a classroom. All I do is coach and do energy work. And it's really goes to show that people need what it is that we do, because people don't want to go through things alone. Like, I remember I was just like looking so much for like an opportunity to grow. And I know that everybody like we encounter is like, they want the opportunity to grow. They want somebody who's there, who's already gone through the process. I remember, I think it was after the first 6 months of doing like the NLP training, hypnosis training, and the Lumia coaching, that I was like, I don't know, this is scary, like moving forward. And, you know, having those thoughts, it's like, it's just more comfortable to like, just continue doing like my safe job and like doing something that's associated with like stability, because there's a structure and then you know how much you're going to get paid and like all of that, right? But when you really look at the world from like abundance, it's like everybody is looking for somebody like you, like me, to help them through the process of healing these different parts of, you know, the ego, their inner child, the higher self, like connecting to all of these parts that exist within us. Because it's something that's really, like, people are looking for this. Like, everybody wants to heal. And if people don't want to heal, it's not for them yet. At some point, they'll get there. Because it took me a while. Like, I feel like it took me a while. I feel like it was something that I had to discover for myself. And after seeing so many patterns of like, okay, what can I change? How can I adapt the situation to like a different way, right? And being able to just allow myself to learn new things. It's like I invested a lot into my healing because I was ready for the change. I wanted to feel more whole. I wanted to feel more complete. I knew different aspects of me were going to like be removed. Like they're like, I don't, what is it called? Like, I don't have connections with people who are not in the path that's aligned towards helping other people, right? It's like, in this work, how is it that we're helping other human beings? How is it that we're creating a space for change, for evolution, for expansion, to be nice. Able to release all of the things that don't serve us? Because when we allow ourselves to step into that path, it's a path of empowerment. It's a path of being able to say like, whoa, whatever they're doing seems like it's in my highest intention, right? That's what we're here. We're here to help you follow what is in your highest intention. And from a space of completely changing your life, moving in a space that is unfamiliar. Because I remember after I got trained, I went to like different, what is it called? Like retreat weekends. I just, at the time I was still like, what is it called? Like paying off like the certification. So I didn't get a coach, but I think it would have been like better if I would have gotten a coach first and then gotten the certification. But everything happened the way it was supposed to happen, right? And then after that, I was like, okay, how can I, because I started to tap in more into the energy, and like the coach that I was working with, she didn't really like believe in energy. And I'm just like, I am so connected to the energy. And just being able to also connect with other people who were in the holistic space, who were entrepreneurs, who were in the space of helping other people like grow and expand, just really allowed me to see that there is so many of us that are here to pour into other people from a place of how is it that we can help each other to move forward, right? Mm-hmm. And be in a space of, you know, caring for, like, yeah, we talk about like ego death, but every part of like our ego is meant to teach us something. Like you said, it only wants to protect us. So it's not like the ego is like bad. I mean, it's bad like when you let it dominate. Like I've had clients where it's like, oh yeah, like like when I was very much in my ego, I felt like this, this and that. And like, you know, like a multitude of things. And I was just like, whoa, that's very insightful. Like every time I sit with a client, it's like, not only am I teaching them, they're also teaching me. And that's very beautiful because we get to grow and expand by like being with other people and learning from their stories and just really being able to cater to whoever we're helping, right? And from a place of like ego, it's just something that we outgrow.
I love everything you said about that.
I'm like, let me tell you, sometimes the ego doesn't want to leave. No.
Listen, I love how you talked about that. And as you was talking, I was thinking to myself of the saying, like, you know, we hear the saying, drop down your swords and shield, right? And we don't take time to, we hear it all the time. And we know the basic definition of like, just essentially let down your damn guard, right? Cool, great, fine, moving forward. But we don't take time to examine the tools that's in hand. You dig? We don't take time to examine, why do we have the sword? We don't take time to examine, why do we have the shield? And in this case, when we talk about the shield, we talk about the ego. We talk about the inner self, right? And that's what came to my mind as you were talking. And it was, it's crazy, you know, how we don't really take time to dissect those parts in detail. So thinking about that is like, I think of like Captain America, right? For my Marvel heads out there, I ain't trying to go too far over the moon on it. But if you know, you know, Captain America runs around with a big old shield. And from my experience of watching Captain America, Captain America portrays this like big old ego. He's wearing red, white, and blue spandex with a big old shield. I don't know how you can run around and do a 4-2 on a 40 with a shield and spandex. That's a conversation for another day. I cannot do that. Anyway, I digress. But behind that ego, Captain America has this bravado, this ego. I'm here to save the world. Ah. But outside of the Speedo, outside of the shield and whatever red, white, and blue do-rag he got on that day, lies an identity. And for those who know, like Captain America, he was like mutated into this. I don't know. They just must have injected him with like a crazy amount of steroids because he came out cock diesel after being a little fry trying to get into the army. Right? Let me slow that down when I say that. Captain America, Speedos and all, with a shield. Outside of that, outside of all of that, he's still that small person, that shy person, that very reserved person. Bringing that back into reality, again, going back to the place of dissecting those parts of the sword and shield, our ego is like our shield. Because shields can hurt too. Shields can hurt too. It can hurt just as much as a sword. It can disorient you. And when we use that shield in the wrong way, it disorients us. I love how you brought up the fact that there was past clients that mentioned, hey, and back in my day, in my ego, along those lines, we allow our ego to disorient us. It's like putting the shield up and like, protect me, protect me, protect me. And it's just a matter if we have that shield of steel or the shield made of wood. Right? That shield that's made of steel can go one or two ways. Stay with me now. That shield can be something to where it takes over you. It's like your blankie when you go to bed. It just takes over your entire life. Or it can be the one thing that protects you in such a healthy way. That's upon maturity and so on and so forth. Your spiritual journey or your journey. Let's just keep it simple, right? The shield with wood, or made out of wood, excuse me. a shield that's made out of wood. Arrogance. Cockiness. Lack of humility. No space of being humble. It's so easy to break down, and then what? All you got is your little Burger King paper sword. You're not putting a damn thing down with that. Right? So in regards to, not to get off course of the subject, think about how is your ego protecting you, and think about the other ways of how your ego can be of utilization to where it can benefit you. Because every time you break new ground, your ego adapts to you, no matter what. How you get it to adapt, that is simply on you, right? It's crazy how the psyche, how our minds just work, how it roams, how it just does its own thing from time to time when we just be off in the wind. You know? From the place of ego death, it's rather insane. And I say that in a good way. Because this is a journey that we're on, right? When we think about ego death, it's good from the place of the fact that we are experiencing this. It's a reminder that not only we are here to experience the physical, but we are also here to experience the internal. And it serves as a reminder that both the physical and the external and the internal are both always connected. They're both always intertwined. It starts with the internal first before it portrays itself to the external. I mean, we can get deep into it if we should, but for the sake of time, you know, I could go over how an ego can be used in a multitude of weapons. But when you think about it, again, to what you were saying, Coach Eva, ego can, yeah, once we get a hold of it, then we try to get ego to do right by us as opposed to doing right by ego. There's a saying, and I know you may have heard it. Are we the master of our minds, or is the mind the master of us? Hot take. Not so hot take. When we get into all of this in terms of like, how are we breaking through our own patterns? Because you used that word earlier. That was like key. How are we paying attention to our patterns within ourselves? The patterns that we see externally, they serve as a hint. Hello. How are we managing those patterns? How does it correlate with our ego? How do we correct the ego before it gets to this place of ego death?
And then also having and being gentle with ourselves, because at the end of the day, like, the ego is there to protect us. And it's up to us, like, how much we allow it to, like, disrupt our lives. Because sometimes the ego is not super nice. It can be or kind. It could do things at the expense of other people. Facts. So really allowing yourself to tap into those, what do you call it? How your ego is there to like protect you, and tapping into like thanking your ego and saying like with peace and grace, like, I let this go because I know that I've grown so much within myself that I can tell you that I'm going to be safe. Like, I don't need to have like this armor. I don't need to have this shield or this sword because I'm not defending myself anymore. I'm just showing up as the real version of myself, the most authentic, the most raw, in order for me to show that you can be loved by who it is that you are. And those people who are not ready to see you as love is because they haven't seen themselves as love. And when you haven't seen yourself as that love that you're here to provide, I know, right? When you haven't seen like yourself as that love, it's important for even like people who may like attack or say something negative about us. It's like, look, you're not there yet, and it's okay. It's not okay to like bully people on the internet. Absolutely not.
Next.
But looking from a place of like compassion for those that may not be ready to start on that journey. Because honestly, the other day I was just like talking to myself and I was like, man, I'm here and I'm thinking, I'm like, why haven't I like showed up? And it's like, oh, what if people hate me? What if people like this, this and that, right? Like placing what other people may say about me more than myself. And I'm like, okay, so I sat down and I wrote, what is the worst thing that people can tell me? And it's like, man, I feel like I'd be more brutal to myself sometimes. Like saying things, it's like, I feel like many times I'm really hard on myself. I'm really someone who's like, man, you need to get it together. Like, what are you doing? So for someone else to like tell me something, I need to really like sit back and be like, okay, with love and with grace and with compassion. Because I feel like being in this space of really sitting with myself and looking at myself as like, where can I heal? Where can I provide the most value to viewers, to an audience? I think it has to do with like sitting with myself from a place of love and compassion and grace and seeing how that like radiates to whoever needs that, right? Because the people that have like the most hurt, that say the most hurtful things, they're the ones that need the most love. And it may not be something that like resonates with everybody because like, oh yeah, the haters, like, you know, they play a role. And then I was also thinking like, oh, we assign like different people, like the characters in our life. And it's like, oh, that's right. Like I said that that person was going to say that about me. So they're doing what I said. Like, if you think about it like that, you can also, it's like, I wrote the script in my life and da, 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 right. So that's what they were going to be saying. But I think it's important to like sit with our ego and give it some love, because at the end of the day, like they got us to where we're at.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying. You ain't lying. This is what happens, folks, when you have a man with Mercury in Scorpio and a woman with Mercury in Cancer speaking. All types of depth, nurturing, and investigative insights. This got deep real quick. I digress. So I love how you talked about the compassionate piece. I really love the grace piece. Right? A lot of times we can be our own biggest critic. We can be our own biggest critic. Damn, that just hit me. That really just hit me.
Or have you been your own biggest critic, James?
Where do I begin? That's a phenomenal question. Fatherhood. I question myself a lot in that. I'm open to talking about that. That's easy work. That's easy money. Fatherhood in terms of if I'm doing the dad thing right. You know, I wasn't the best early on. I can honestly say that. But through getting out of my own way and going through what I went through, you know, it opened me up to taking that step forward, to building a great relationship with my kids. Like, my kids are like my best buddies, and I'm pretty sure they feel the same way about me. You know what I'm saying? They're my ace boon coons. Granted, they fight each other quite a bit, but nonetheless, they're great. They're the beauty behind that is that they're always teaching me something. They taught me that you know, to educate and to learn, it's a lifelong process, right? Said every Sagittarius. But what's another area from a personal standpoint, a more individualized personal standpoint? A lot of time. It's really within work. A lot of times I push away higher end roles because I love my freedom. And I've been into previous gigs to where I've lost that. I've lost time with family. I've lost time, hell, with myself. And I told myself I'll never go through that again. When in reality, I started thinking about it from the aspect of like, how does this align with me and my purpose to what I'm supposed to do? I mean, I work a job now to where, 2 days out the week, I'm working like early mornings. And it's not even about the money. It's about seeing those kids, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Like, I actually had a, not to go too deep into it, but just for the privacy of one of my kids, like he had a kind of, like he's at an age to where he's adjusting. Identity shift, everything, right? And he just be saying some outlandish stuff from time to time. Nothing wrong with that. But we had a conversation and I felt like the dad in me kicked in to where it was like, look, man, I just want you to know I'm coming from a place of love. I do care about you. I do love you like you're one of my own. But be mindful of how you're approaching this with A, B, C, and D. And just by looking at him on the other side intuitively, it was like it was hitting him. It was like, maybe hell, he didn't even realize it. But seeing him, it was like it was sinking in. And from that place of being my own critic, you know, I wouldn't say I was criticizing myself, but I questioned it. Because he's not biologically mine, if we're going to call a spade, but at the same token, the dad in me, it was like trying to consider the his parents, right? Like, is this my place? But my ego was in there. It's like, you know damn well you shouldn't be talking about this. Let him run. Let him go crazy. But the other side of it, after having that conversation, it was more so of like, you, this is why you're here. This is one step towards building community and making your existing community better. I remember when you came over here and we chopped it up at the Healing Center over here in good old Las Vegas. You know, the October shooting that happened. I know for me, my experience there, I can only speak for myself, but it was from a place of like, how can I really help this community? And that's when it hit me. It's like the painting of what my purpose is here, it added that much more color to it. And you know, I love my abstract photos and you know, I love my Bob Ross. However, really looking at it, it was like, this is like a great space to create change. It's a great space to cultivate and redefine what community is. You go kicked in. Like, it's a big job. Do you want to do this? Like, you need to just chill. You just got here. Here I am now. Through navigating with my ego and exploring that and really tapping in with my kids around that, it's like, every day I go to work, every day I'm behind the computer doing my business, working within my business, it's an eye opener. There's times even in sessions I will question myself. I know for a fact I'm a damn good coach. You could bet that. But every person that has to do with that, that's walking around with greatness written on their forehead, I can almost guarantee you there's questions. Part of being great is attacking those questions. Part of being great is, you know, eliminating the doubts. And I deal with it on a day-to-day. I deal with it every day. I wake up and I eat. I wake up, I eat, you know, doubt for breakfast, and I wake up and I piss excellence. I'm so serious when I say that. And I apologize for my arrogance coming out, but wholeheartedly. No, I'm so serious. Wholeheartedly. I stand on that 10 toes strong when I say that. You know what I'm saying? And I fight those doubts every day. How am I going to get through the day? What are my clients thinking about? How am I going to do it? Like, am I even in the space to even be doing this? The minute I leave out that door, I'm him. I'm the shit. I don't care what nobody say. It's my show. I'm driving this bus. I stand on that 10 toes strong. I have to walk out with that level of to what I portray or what I call silent arrogance. I'm always going to be humble to any and everybody. I know who I am. But when somebody questions my confidence, go ahead and question it, because I won't question myself. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Yeah, I'm sorry for that answer to drag out, but it got me in a passionate place to where I really talk about it. You know what I'm saying? When asked, and I get deep, like extremely quickly about it. So yeah, it's I feel like every day we battle ego. It's just that when we're on our journey, like that official spiritual awakening, that journey, that's like you're at war with yourself for that time being. You know what I'm saying? You slay one dragon, then seven more pop out. And it's like, damn, how the hell am I going to do this?
It's the dragon with the multiple heads.
That's crazy. That's too many heads. I can't do that shit, man. I got stuff to do. I got I need a lunch break in between. Like, look, I done took out three of y'all's heads. I need to sit down, eat a sandwich before I get back to do, you know, slaying and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? That's too much going on. I can do individual dragons. Easy work. It's quick. Quick process. Seven heads, too much. No mas. Need a lunch break. That's a whole 8-hour shift. What times have you experienced to where you criticize yourself?
I'm like, I feel like it used to be a lot more. And now, it's less. I mean, I think we all go through, you know, little voices in our heads from like childhood or like things like that, that tell us that maybe we're not in the space of where you're supposed to be, which is like whatever, like you may, what is it called? I don't know. I feel like I'm really hard on myself. And because I'm hard on myself, I do great. And I think now it's just the journey of learning to, you know, have that love, grace, and compassion for myself and embodying that like on a daily basis so that I'm able to show up in that space, to show up from a space of how can I truly embody that most like authentic, real, and raw version of myself? How can I get to the point of being able to like talk about my story? And it's like, you know, that after our podcast, I'm gonna be talking to my mom about like, mom, this is what I'm gonna be saying. This is what you can expect. And this is something that I'm saying with a lot of like love, like grace, and like compassion, like for that version of my mom, you know, because it's like our parents grow, and our parents they taught us the lessons that we needed to learn at the ages where we needed to learn them. And it's like, if I hadn't gone through those experiences, like how is it that I like where is it that I would be? How is it that I could help people if I can't like identify with the experience that they've gone through, with the experiences that they may have experienced, and just being able to like connect and relate to people in that way, and just being able to also, once I release the emotions and I like healed within myself and like my heart, that I'm able to tell these stories as just stories, not having any like emotion tied to it. I know that like the reason why like I'm going to tell my mom is because I know that she still has emotions tied to like everything we experienced growing up. But I feel like this is the moment where it's going to push her to like her healing and her journey and being able to truly let go so that she can see that in spite of everything that I went through, it made me the person that I am. It made me this version of myself. It made me truly like embody what it is that I'm supposed to be doing here. I'm like here on earth. And also, because it's just, our parents are learning. We are all learning. Like being able to like sit and have these conversations with love and with kindness and just be like, Mom, these are just experiences. This is not like judgment. This is just like, this is what I went through. It's like, yeah, people may place judgment, but it's not from, as long as you feel good with yourself, it doesn't really matter what other people say. Because once you're at peace internally, then you're like, oh, that person's just disturbing the peace because they don't have peace. And you're able to see it from that lens instead of from the lens of like, oh, they're attacking me. It's like, they're not attacking you. They're just playing a role in your life that you assign. And when you look at it as like everybody's the character playing a role that you assigned, then that is like you being in an empowered state. It's not like, oh my gosh, like they're saying negative things. It's like, no, like how is it that I can say like these good things, positive things? Like, yeah, I may be hard on myself. I may be, you know, not as kind as I should have, but I've grown so much since I started healing. It's like before I remember I was like so vain, so like numb, not in touch with my emotions at all, very much in my masculine. But being able to be here now and like getting like those like voices that would say negative things like removed and helping my clients like release that, like it's been so beautiful and so powerful. It's like you don't have to stay with those same stories. Like if those stories don't align and you're ready to heal, then you can release that, because that's not for you to take. That's not for you to like carry on for your whole life. You can let that go. It's just getting aligned with the right people who can help you make those shifts, who can help you like reframe the way that life, like you've experienced life, you know? I don't know. Did I answer the question? I feel like I go off on a tangent and...
Talk your shit. Cook.
I go off on a tangent.
Nah, man. I think I love it. I love the fact that, you know, you really was able to dig deep and talk about like the criticism. One undercurrent I noticed that you talked about was how you hold yourself accountable. Did you notice that as you were talking? Like there's what I hear when you talk is the accountability piece in terms of grace, right? We never take the time to really mesh those two words together, or better yet, the two actions. We don't mesh the word grace and accountability together or put it in a little relationship. I don't know.
It's like nobody teaches us that.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you hit the nail on the head on that one. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we don't, like I said, we live in a world to where there's good into societal norms. Much as I hate to say it, I feel like it's a North Star. If you don't know where you're going, it's cute, it's great, whatever. But once you really are locked in at that point, that's where we're tossing it away. You start living your life based upon your path and your purpose. And if you do get lost, then yes, you can go back to the North Star of society. I digress. But when we start riding the wave of that path, life becomes more abstract. Abstractually beautiful. Ooh, that's a big word. Ooh. But when we have, when we're given the paintbrush to make those happy trees, to make those happy mountains, to build that beautiful sun, it's like mixing two colors together. You know, when Bob Ross makes that tree, he mixes a few greens. Two totally different greens, but it comes out to be a beautiful pine flipping green. Some of the best greens I've ever seen him use on a paint, on a canvas. Where I'm getting to is when you take a word like grace and accountability and you marry those two words up, it becomes something that you can define. You dig what I'm saying? It could be something that you turn into your own. We don't take the time to really do that. And it goes back to the statement of like living life in black and white. It's either this or that. No, excuse my French, but fuck that. Why can't it be both? Screw it. Why not add a little bit of color to your life by merging the two words and creating your own definition of it? Why not merge the two words to make it your own? Why not merge the two words to add it, to accelerate your path, to get you to that next step? The next chapter of your journey, right? We don't take the time to do that. So again, bringing it full circle is like, I love what you really talked about in terms of like really in simple terms, just nurturing yourself, even in those moments of criticism. We don't give ourselves grace. It's the thing of, we see a lot of people criticize themselves and then they just sit in their own space without a pot to piss in. And that sucks. It's very deflating. It's very demotivating. It's a lot of negative in that. It's very unhealthy. Extremely unhealthy. Ego death. How can I put this? The good in ego death is the aftermath. The good in ego death is the aftermath of it all once we have learned a lesson. There's the realization, that's just the surprise of it, but the beauty of it is what you've learned from the place of how far you can really push yourself. And sometimes you might encounter a joker like me. Ooh, how far can I go? Ooh, what's my ego saying today? How can I kick it in? How can I kick it in right in his arm? At this point, I'm just talking out the side of my neck, but it's true. Oh, it's true. But at the same token, you know what I'm saying? You start learning how to nurture yourself through grace. You start finding different ways to like attack your own ego put your ego to the side from time to time. Your ego is like your guard dog.
When you say it like that, it reminds me of when I used to teach, and you know, I have had like a student that's like, they like the class's attention, right? And I'll be like, okay, go stand outside, let me give direction to the class, and then I'll go talk to you. So it's like kind of like you're taking your ego and you're having like a sad conversation of like, look, this is what we do, this is what we don't do, this is how I'm here to treat you with like love and respect, and you need to do that for myself and for other people. Right? Being able to have like those conversations with yourself and saying like, you can't do that to other people. You can't behave in that way. Like, we need to really tap into the aspects of how can I use this experience to like better myself and not think of like, yeah, and not think of things as like ultimately or like wanting to have like an audience, because sometimes like the people with the biggest egos want like that audience, you know, to be able to just, you know, say whatever they need to say from a place of like validation instead of from a place of like authenticity, like realness, rawness, like genuine connection.
I love that. Ego can bring the spotlight for sure. I think of Jerry Springer, the Jerry Springer Show. People bring on all their problems and whatnot, And then when they, you know, when the spotlight's on them, then they get to a place, for lack of better terms, they just start looking goofy. Because ego can make you do and feel a lot of things. It can make you feel goofy. It can make you feel seen, heard. It can go in a trajectory of ways, whether it's positive or it's negative, or it's like there's like a health check or a temp check to your ego when you let it out.
Yeah, when I've seen in like different like calls or like consultations, it's that the ego can only experience like pain and pleasure. It has like trouble experiencing the other emotions. Yeah. Because it's like no matter like how good you're trying to like see your world on the outside, it's like how is the world on the inside reflecting? It's like you continue to go towards pleasure, but then there's still that pain that it like brings you right back. And then you keep seeking that pleasure, but then we haven't dealt with the pain. So it brings you right back. And it's like a, what is it called? Those paddle things with the ball. I don't know what it's called, but it's, or like the yo-yo, it's like back and forth, like with the pain and pleasure instead of
being able to. How did this turn into ESPN? Are you referring to ping pong or pickleball?
No, the one that has the string with the paddle and the ball and the string. I don't know what it's called. See, I'm not very versed in sports.
Just go ahead. We good. We'll cross that bridge another time. To the subject. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know what it's called. No, but in terms of like getting back to it, it's like that's what I find in people who are done with like the back and forth of like pleasure and pain. It's like, okay, how can I release the pain to be able to experience the other emotions? Because when I was in a state of not releasing the pain, all I had was numbness. And numbness goes into the category of anger. And when people live in the category of anger, like their heart like hurts, like energetically. Like that's what I found, like that I've been helping a lot of people with my like life force activation. It's like tapping into their heart to be able to like release the energy. And like I experienced energy very kinesthetically. So it's like I could feel it in my hand and just releasing it. And then like the people that I've had at my last event, they were like, more people need to do this. Like everybody's like promoting me and I feel so blessed and so like honored to be like around these people who are just like in that space of everybody needs to experience like a healing like this, you know? And I love to hold space because it's so sacred, you know?
Thanks.
To hold space for your emotions.
It's a great way of putting it, Coach.
Yeah.
We are at an hour.
Yes.
Nonetheless, it's been a great chat. Love seeing and hearing you folks. So real quick, a lot of times we always talk about to put in the comments what was your thoughts and all of that stuff. I challenge you to tell us a takeaway. How will you apply this to your day-to-day living? I'm curious.
Like what conversation like spark within you? It's like, oh, where do I do this? Where don't I do this? Like, what is it that I need? How is it that I can like embrace myself to the fullest extent to move forward and to grow and expand and evolve?
Thanks. Well, folks, it's been lovely. It's been another wonderful hour. Again, you are here with us on Break Out of the Unhinged, where you have two coaches who are just talking about all things spirituality and life related. Again, my name is James Tates. I am a transformation and mindset coach from Soul Tribe Transformations. I can be reached at Soul Tribe Transformations on Instagram. I don't know what Trump is going to do with TikTok. I said, yes, I said it and I stand on that. I don't know what's going to happen. But I can be found on TikTok as well. Same handle. Coach Eva, where can we find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Reveal, Release, and Reclaim. I'm your holistic healing coach, here to help you navigate the different emotions, let go of what no longer serves you, and be able to embody more of like the loving, empathetic aspects of yourself, also from a place of boundaries and accountability, and being able to like sit with yourself in a loving space. Yeah, it's also like, okay, how can I move forward with this? How can I see that I can truly change my life for myself? Because ultimately, like, we can help, but you're the one that's here in the space. You're the one that's doing the work. You're the one that's listening to something that is going to help you change and up-level your life. You're the one taking the time to invest in yourself, to see your world, your reality in a different way, to be able to have a more fruitful life experience from a place of releasing patterns that no longer serve you. So yeah, I love what I do. And I'm excited to, you know, see folks on a connection call.
Let's get it. I love it. Folks, viewers, listeners, well, if you're here, well, you're not physically here. We're in two different states, but that's neither here nor there. But well, if you're listening or watching us on the tube, checking us out, you could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here. And for that, we thank you. Thank you for listening and viewing Breakout of the Unhinged. Be safe. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you so much. Bye.